Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Representative Rudy Veit. Hello, Rudy.
Glad to be here.
So Rudy represents the 59th District, which includes Cole and Miller counties.
No, there's no part of Miller County. It's all Cole County, rural area of Cole County, and then part of Jefferson City, which is Highway 50 and 179.
All right. Well, I stand corrected then. All right. So we're about 2 weeks away from the pre-filing deadline for the next legislative session, which means we're about a month and a half away from the actual session. So a lot of minds are turning towards what the legislature is going to tackle next year and how productive the session might be, given that a general election is actually coming up in November of 2024. So let's start with the anticipated atmosphere. What are you concerned about when it comes to the function of the General Assembly, and what signs of hope, if any, do you see that it might be a more productive session than previous years?
Well, we do have a lot of them running for new offices, different offices for the Senate, Lieutenant Governor, and I worry they will use the floor as a basis to make campaign speeches. However, with the recent publicity with our speaker, and this, the public in general is getting tired of this do nothing, I think maybe everybody will look at it as an opportunity. It's time we prove ourselves and we keep our campaigns on campaign trails and our serving the public, our constituents, as the highest priority while we're in the legislature. I'm being overly optimistic. We got to look at it with a positive attitude, and maybe it will happen.
Yeah. Are there any efforts of discussion about that within the caucuses?
Yes. We made it clear, and everybody's aware, that it's time that we try to unite. We are a majority party. And as majority, all we're going to do is fight amongst ourselves and not do the work of the people, we may not be the ones carrying that torch very long. And it's starting to be clear to people. We've seen some national elections and some polls that say it's time to wake up and serve the people. And I think more and more people are looking at that way. And we will be less tolerant of those who have their hidden agendas.
All right. So we had a story recently that mentioned several priorities that were being suggested by fellow legislators, some of those including child care, initiative petitions, and tax cuts. So let's talk about them and some of the other topics that you think might get a lot of attention this year as they do the people's business. So child care, what's needed? What's achievable?
I think that there still is money available. I think that the consensus is there. Both parties want it. Both parties recognize it. Individuals need it. Businesses know we need it because businesses understand that we need workers. We need people who can be there during the day, not working part-time, or people just working from home, taking care of their kids. We need people to run the business. And if we get good child care, that's available. But if we have child care that's not available are so expensive, people just aren't going to be in the workforce. And we have a high demand. Good mothers make good workers.
Yep.
And they're not going to be good workers if they have to take care of their kids at home. And their mind is always about where I'm going to place my kids, or we've got to have them in an unsafe environment. So it's very important. I think child care is an economic thing for businesses. I think it's an economic opportunity for individuals, and it should be a priority.
Okay. We've established the importance of it. So how do we incentivize it? How do we improve the situation?
How do we incentivize most things? We're going to have to give some different breaks in taxes for it. We're going to have to do some tax credits. We're going to have to do some joint ventures with businesses that to start more child care facilities. And we're not taking business away from local child cares because they're all full and you can't get in them. So it's going to take a combined effort. And we spend money to bring businesses into this state. We got to bring money to keep them here and to provide good workers. I know that's another expense, but it is one that has to happen. Child care is so expensive now that if you have two children, you can't afford to go to work.
Yeah.
At the same time, that's taking you out of your career ladder, though, also. And, you know, teachers have to have a place for their children to go. And we don't, the money they make, child care could eat up most of their disposable income.
So to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I would hate to think of anybody who doesn't support child care, improving child care.
Well, there will be those who say you start a program, it never ends.
Okay.
And there are programs that led it up to private sector. And those are good theories. But in real life, they're just not working right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to our next topic, initiative petition. So this is the second or third run at reining in the process. So why is it a priority and should it be?
Well, 6 years ago when I started here, I talked to the governor about it. And it is a priority because you should not change the Constitution, the Constitution is designed to protect the majority from the minority, because majority can always do what they want. 50%, people can change it. You're not offering much protection to the minority. And bills that should have been more challenging. You don't change the Constitution every whim. Well, every time you want to change it, you got to go back to the vote of the people. Mm-hmm. Every little thing. Whereas if you pass it by referendum, then we can change those things as we need. Because most times when you pass something major, there's always some collateral consequences you're unforeseen. That should have been done a long time ago. We've used it complaining about Medicaid expansion. Well, it's because we didn't do the job at the Capitol that people wanted it. We didn't pass recreational marijuana because people wanted it. We didn't want to do it. And I think either of those could have been better passed by statute so we could have corrected it. And so this is people's right to make their voice heard. The problem with it is we have tried now for 5 years or longer trying to get something passed, and we did not get it done. Now we're trying to get it passed, but it also looks as a direct attack on those who are wanting women's health care rights. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, you only passed it, try to prevent it from us. I think that, one, we didn't get it passed last year. We worked on it. The Senate didn't go along. Even if now, under the current environment, if the House passes it, Senate passes it, and the governor's passes it, I'm not sure the people are going to carry it. And then it's never going to get taken care of. So from a political standpoint, it might be better to wait a year and let the women's health care bill do what it's going to do. But that's not what they want. They're going to try to get a bill through. And I think that we're day late and a dollar short of getting it done. And to do it right now, we may end up with it being killed just like it was in Ohio. And then we're never going to get a second bite of the apple. It is something that definitely needs cleaned up. If people want voice to be heard by referendum, they should be able to pass a statutory change. And I know they think that the legislature will change it if they don't like every part of it. But there are times every bill gets passed, there are some collateral consequences that need to be addressed. And the Constitution, you know, look at the U.S. Constitution. It's a small little book. Look at our Constitution. It's a big book and very complicated. And we've offered hundreds of pages to it just last year.
Recreational marijuana is a great example. Multiple pages,
many ins and outs. Nobody knows what's all in it. And even if you were in favor of recreational marijuana, that was not the way to do it.
And it seems to be a trend that's going. You mentioned.
And it adds so many things in the bill, from expungement. You know, all have different issues that should rise or fall on their own.
And as you point out, it's a growing trend. I mean, in addition to the abortion issue, gaming is another one that is gathering steam out there as a petition.
Well, that's where we need to get some discipline back up there, because gaming is passed in every state around us, and everyone's doing it. Whether I agree with it or not agree with the system, I walked into a store in Columbia a while ago, a convenience store, to get gas, and there are 8 machines in there and 3 people in there playing slot machines. They're supposed to be illegal. We don't do anything about it. We need to realize it's going to happen, and if we want any say of how it happens, we better get off and do it.
Well, one of the other things we mentioned was tax cuts. So this may be a silly question, but does the state need more tax cuts?
Well, this is a very unpopular position to take. But my position is, we just gave a bunch of tax cuts. Until we see the collateral consequences and how much they mean, we should not have a tax cut. If we, at the end of the year, we have a lot of money and we're going to give a tax refund, but we shouldn't tie the hands of the future legislatures like Kansas did. And then they have to come back to provide basic services. They're going to have to pass a tax increase. There will always be legislatures in there willing to vote for a tax rebate. And that's the way to do it, because we don't know, you know, we're what, 2.4% down this year. I didn't look today, but last week was 2.4% down in revenue, which is a lot of money. And when you realize that inflation and costs are going up probably 4 to 5%, that's a 7 to 10% swing. That's real money.
Yep. So what are some other issues you think are going to be front and center this year?
Well, I hope that we have front and center my bills, of course.
Of course.
But also anything Jefferson City needs with the parking, that we team up and work with them, because the Capitol belongs to the people. They should be able to come there and visit without undue complications. And there's no parking for them now, so they can't get there. It's hard to park, keeping a lot of people from coming. It's their building, and parking for legislatures is taken care of, but there isn't parking for all the people that visit the Capitol and that. And they have a right to be there, and we should work with the Jefferson City developing, because Jefferson City has a parking issue, and we should work with them to try to resolve that issue.
So as a legislator there, what do you believe is the best approach to do that?
Well, it's an open door policy, the idea that we're open to working together and seeing what works. Mm-hmm. One person does not have all the answers. I like to tell you, do A, B, and C, which I hear all the time.
Yep.
Do this and solve the problem. It's not the answer. The answer is sit down, vet it out with both sides, hear both sides. I know we're not supposed to say compromise now, but we can say come to a consensus. What is the best approach to do it?
Okay. Do you anticipate the issue the parking issue from a legislative standpoint?
Well, it is important because there are some of them up there threatening all kinds of things to Jeff City if they don't, you know, on parking tickets and making a no parking zone and all these types of things. And it is an issue. Every representative up there has constituents come in to see them, and that's an inconvenience for them. You know, we want people at the Capitol to share their opinions. We want people there to appreciate it and understand why we have to fix it and keep it in good order. Therefore, they have to be able to park somewhere and get in there.
Well, you mentioned earlier some of your bills. What are some of the bills that you're pushing this year?
Well, part of bills that we just had issues with last year, we passed last year. One of them has to do with redaction of information on CaseNet and going on the internet. It was a very good idea, but I've talked to judges now, and I've talked to the Judge Association. I've had the Bar Association. I've had local judges. I have judges from Kansas City call me. We didn't look at all the collateral consequences. And when you redact everything, a judgment's got to at least say what land it's applying to, who the child is, et cetera. And redact names. And it just needs some real clarification. That's one. But it sounds easy, but it's going to take a lot of undoing.
Yeah.
We want our case net to be open, our courts to be open to the people on the web. We want to protect children, though, from their names being put out there. And we got to come up with a compromise. Mm-hmm. And not one person can tell you they have the answer, all of the answers, because I have talked to judges, I've heard their opinion. And basically, I have working with them and telling them that they're the ones out there who are seeing it. They are the ones who should tell us how to solve the problem. Not legislative research, because they haven't been in the courtroom and done judges, and not just us who with our ideas. They should get together, the Bar Association, the Judges Association, even the Defense Bar, everybody figure out how we, particularly in any family law matters, how we protect the children's identity to the extent we can, but still can make our judgments useful for accomplishing real estate transactions, paternity issues, and those types of things.
Sure.
So I'm working trying to get outside individuals to give us the answer. In the past, we gave them the bill, and we had some input, but that bill was changed in the Senate the last day with a part that I knew was going to be, I didn't know, but I thought it was going to be a real problem. But it came back from the Senate with one part that creates to be a real problem. We have Senate Bill 72, which had four of my bills in. It went to the House. It went to the Senate. We had a conference committee agreed upon. It was set to go on to the floor. And one senator was mad at another senator, so he blocked it from going on the floor. Had nothing to do with the bill. Everybody agreed the bill was right, needed to be passed. Because it just done what mainly called judicial proceedings, making our court proceedings more efficient and more open to people. You know, we have to keep our judicial system constantly changing, being more efficient, or it's going to become outdated and unworkable.
Sure.
It's a yearly process. There's issues come up. Everything's changing with the internet, way people are going to court, virtual hearings and all that. It needs to be constantly changed.
Okay.
There's a large mediation bill that same way made it through everywhere. Last day, the reading of the book brought things to a halt. I think one of the bills that's been brought to me, and it's a senator brought it, and he's looking at it again, is a moratorium on evictions, you know, where you cannot evict anyone. And they're not paying their rent, they're not keeping the house up because of some alternative crisis. We say you can't evict them. Well, the landlord has obligations too.
Sure.
He has to make his payment. He can't see his house deteriorate. If the state wants to say you cannot evict them, then they ought to be the ones taking the legal consequences and the economic consequences for them remaining to stay there. And that's just like condemnation when they tell you can't take your money. And there's momentum for that because most landlords don't have everything paid for. They have bills just like everybody else.
Sure.
You leverage your building when you buy it. If you don't have any income in, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Well, there's a number of them in there. For instance, like last night, I had a long conference with a gentleman from St. Louis on Veterans Court. We passed a Veterans Court bill to set up Veterans Courts and how they can go through proceedings. And Veterans Courts work just like drug court. Mm-hmm. But Veterans Court work with veterans helping each other understand and get back on their feet and emotionally adapt to it. But we had some counties were requiring them to pay the fees up front for the program, then refund it at the end if they completed it, which I think the statute clearly says they can't do. But other ones were charging them, but not letting away the fees. And I immediately took all that information, gave it to Dave Griffith, and he and I, but mainly Dave, was going to work on clarifying that and make sure courts interpret the way we intended it to be done. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned up there. If someone comes to me with a problem and there's a representative up there handling a lot of that issue, go to them. I mean, there are lawyers who, and Dave Griffith, Representative Griffith is a veteran. He knows he's chair of the Veterans Committee. My time is more efficiently used by me delegating or asking him to take over that than me trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
And that's the same thing with a lot of family law issues. Now, I do a lot with children, but there are certain representatives who cover a lot of that. And that's all they cover, and that's what they worked in. And so those bills and issues, I work directly with them. I don't need bills to carry on my own. I've got enough to do. A lot of that in my work involves just getting them to the right individual.
Sure.
And then we get a lot of calls in that usually if we just talk to the state agency, we can get resolved.
Well, and I think the flip side of that legislative, using the veterans example, is certainly he has more experience in that area perhaps than you do.
Not more, a lot more.
And
he knows a lot of collateral consequences than I do.
Exactly. And the flip side of that is I know a lot of your colleagues come to you from a legal perspective to look at those unintended consequences.
Yeah, I see a lot of those and more all the time. But and that's what I enjoy doing, though, looking at bills, their bills, and just playing the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But that's what needs to be done on more bills.
Yeah.
And legislative research does a good job, but we're hiring new legislative research all the time. And they can draft a bill. But again, collateral consequences are hard to predict if you've never been in the field with
it. Yeah. You know, you kind of hinted it, it seems to me. But one of the beauties of the governmental system is that legislation is coming down, is vetted through committees and debated on the floor, but then they hit those omnibus bills, and then it's just all bets are off, it seems like, at times.
Well, that one of them that's causing us a problem, I'm glad it didn't kill the whole bill, because our CaseNet bill was in there. I had two other bills in there, but I knew when we let it happen, and so did chairman of the judiciary, said there can be a problem here, but it's done in the Senate. Your last day, you can't kill everything, and I looked at ways to limit our big bills. Mm-hmm. It's in the Constitution, but we can do so much by rules if we wanted to. When you can amend a bill, who can amend a bill? And everybody says we don't want big bills, but
that's end up every session ends that
way. They won't agree. The majority is not going to agree to a rules change.
Yeah.
And their answer is, if we do a rule change in the House, it says, a bill can only be amended by the carrier of the bill in a committee and by on the floor only with consent of the carrier of the bill. That doesn't stop the Senate from doing it.
Right.
In order to correct it, you don't have to have a constitutional change. We can do it ourselves. We just don't have the willpower to do it, or maybe the wisdom is not the right thing to do because so many bills would just die.
Yeah.
I mean, if we pass those bills, but only one person can amend the bill and that, there'd be a lot of other collateral consequences too. And people in ingenious ways would figure out a way around it.
Sure. That's true. Well, so as the session approaches, what's your personal goals?
Well, personally, I want us to not spend our whole session talking about certain ideology bills and that. And I want to, it's hard to argue when the tax cut bills, but again, if people just will think about, we can give tax rebates. You don't want more money staying around than you need, because that leads to waste. But you also have to have enough there to meet your needs. And if you cut off the source and everything changes, and I projected cost, 5%, inflation actually is higher than that. And our schools continue to need money. We need to fund the program. We have people I know that are going to, who told in a committee the other day he was going to file a bill to eliminate the school formula. He had no idea what he's going to replace it with. What would happen then?
Yeah.
And he's from a small school district. Do you think the big city schools are going to feel generous and just want to give them more money?
No.
Or bills to change the highway department funding to under the control of the legislature? Majority of our representatives are in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield. Is that where all the money's going to go? They're each going to be fighting for their district. North Missouri, if I want to go up there to visit Greg Sharp or one of the other representatives up there, I'd have a four-wheel drive with a winch on front of it probably to get there.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get money for their roads.
No.
Again, they don't think of the consequences, but it sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll hear a whole bunch of y'all eliminating personal property tax again. Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. But the idea, if you're going to eliminate a tax, figure out what program you're going to cut. Are you going to cut it? And if you're going to keep it, where the money's coming from and how are you going to get the money? Thinking you can just cut these major programs and without affecting our schools, our fire departments, our libraries, our ambulance districts, and all these local communities is foolhardy. It just doesn't make sense. Every program needs to be looked at. Is there a better way to do it? But don't do it until you have what the collateral consequences are and a program to either eliminate it or funding of that service.
Yep. Agreed.
But it's a political year, and it's great to say eliminate personal property tax, eliminate income tax. Let's eliminate corporate tax. Who could be against it?
Sir, you've got your work cut out for you this session, I think.
Well, it's a challenge if that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
If we all agreed on one thing, then it would probably be something wrong, too.
There you go. Well, Rudy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.